Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base a meditation is the gospel lesson we read before. It's on the back of your bulletins. We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, who blesses us in so many ways and gives us gifts that we do not even seek or ask for, we give you thanks for the love and mercy that you have towards us. We thank you for your word and the teachings of Jesus our Savior, for we know that all Scripture was written for our learning. Grant us now the presence of your Holy Spirit. Guide and direct us this morning as we meditate on your word, that we might grow in faith and love of our neighbor. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the story, the gospel lesson that we had this morning is generally titled The Good Samaritan. It's probably a pretty well-known story. We've heard it, but even though we've heard it and read it many times, I don't think we always totally comprehend all the points and the teachings that Jesus would impart to us through that story. For instance, we might ask, why do we title this story The Good Samaritan? Why don't we title it more like our newspapers would, The Unloving Priest, or Robbers Beat Up a Man on the Road to Jericho? That's more the style of our newspapers. Highlight the negative. Highlight the things that are wrong. Accent the evil deeds, the wrong breaking. And the first would be to highlight the wrongs of a pastor, professional. We all kind of like to beat up on professional people in our lives, whether they're lawyers or pastors, to find fault, especially if they're TV preachers. We like to find that fault in them. The other would be, you know, to highlight the evil deed. But instead, we tend to follow, in this case, the eighth commandment, to put the best construction on everything, and we highlight the good. And so we call it The Good Samaritan. But look at that first question. Here's a lawyer, well-versed in the law of the land as well as the laws of Scripture. And he wants to know. He wants to know the basic answer to the question that all of us is. What do I need to do? How can I receive eternal life? How can I be saved is his question. Now, when Nicodemus came to Jesus once by night, he asked basically the same question. And Jesus told Nicodemus the way to salvation was the way of faith, that he needed to be born again, be born of the water and the Spirit, and he would receive eternal life. Because, you see, he told him, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but would have everlasting life. We say that Nicodemus's answer that Jesus gave to him was the gospel. And at first, when we look at this, we wonder, is it the same answer? And the answer is yes. It is the same answer in the end. It's more directed to the person that has come here. This was a lawyer, very well versed in the law, completely. And so Jesus says, if you want to be saved by your own works, by your own deeds, then you must obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. But you and I know we can't do that. We can't obey them perfectly, so we need to obey them through the law of love. The law of love, which is faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Faith in Jesus who forgives us our failings and our shortcomings. Now, this lawyer seemed to know the answer to the law, but then he had this other question. Good lawyer always has another question, right? And that was, who is my neighbor? That's really the key here. Who is my neighbor? See, with a good legal mind, we figure there must be a loophole. There must be some way that we can reduce neighbor. Now, if neighbor only includes your family and your friends, your close relatives, yeah, we might be able to keep it, right? We might be able to love them most of the time. But, you know, if neighbor includes the guy across the street who we really don't like and we avoid whenever we can, now it's a little tougher. And if neighbor includes people on the other side of town who are a different color and speak a different language, now it really gets tough to love them. And that's the question here that this lawyer has. Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. He said a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a distance of about 17 miles. It's a well-traveled road at that time because those were two major cities, and so there was a fair amount of commerce that went back and forth between the two cities. We could sort of probably say the road was from one sort of high-end suburb on one side of Minneapolis, and it went to a high-end suburb on the other side of Minneapolis, but it happened to go through Minneapolis North also. And so there was a lot of danger on the road. Bandits found many places that they could hide and then sneak off the road into caves that were along the road and in the hills. And so it was a well-traveled road, but also it was known as a dangerous road. And so here's this man, walks down the road. He's the unfortunate one. Bandits rob him, beat him up, leave him half dead. And along comes a priest. And he sees him and scoots by the other side as fast as he can go. Now, he probably had a lot of good reasons for that, right? Maybe he had a funeral to attend in Jericho, and so he's on a hurry to get there. Or had other things that he needed to do, and he didn't have time. He's in a hurry. Other things were more important. We could think of all sorts of excuses. He don't have any first aid kit. He has no way to really help the person. So he scoots by. Then there comes, and who would that person be today? This would be the pastors, the leaders, the congregation, teachers, churches, community, and other things. Those that should know better. Those that should know the will and desire of God to help one another. But then along comes the Levite. Now, the Levite's not much better. He at least takes a good look at the guy, but scoots by the other side too pretty quickly. And he has all the same excuses as the priest did. Now, who's the Levite today? The Levites today are basically all of you. You who have been taught the Word of God, the lay people, the congregation, taught the Word of God, taught the commandments, the catechism, you know the Word of God, you know what we should do, how we should help those in need and others around us. We're the Levite. And then we see here the Samaritan. Now the Samaritan is, at that time, the outcast of society. They were looked down upon by the Jews. Most likely the guy beat up was a Jew. The Samaritan was looked down upon. They were basically the outcasts. We might say they were the motorcycle gang people. They were the long-haired hippies. They were the people who drove old beat-up cars. Whatever it might be, that you and I have a little tendency when we see them to kind of fear and think, yeah, I'm not so sure I want to be friends with that person. That's the Good Samaritan. There was a racial prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. It was very strong amongst some. Some Jews would not even let a Samaritan's shadow cross their shadow. So fearful were they of being contaminated in some way by this other person. But here's this Good Samaritan. He comes, he sees the person there, and he helps him. Now it cost him. It cost him pretty good money. He ended up paying the guy's medical bill. He probably lost who knows how much business because of late delays in his meeting other commerce people in the other city. He had to walk the rest of the way because he had put the wounded person on his donkey to carry him to the hospital. There was a lot of things that he lost. Cost him 2 days' wages, at least, to pay for the guy's medical help and care. But he does all that without any hope of ever being having it returned to him. He does it with also any hope that if a brother Samaritan would have been the guy beat up, that a Jew would have stopped and helped him. That just wouldn't have been done. And so Jesus says, who is the neighbor? And of course, the lawyer knew the neighbor was the Good Samaritan, the guy who helped him. And so who are the Good Samaritans today? Good Samaritans today, again, are the same ones, the people who help the unfortunate, the people who do not commit the sins of omission. Because that's really the sin that's involved here. It's a sin of omission, failing to do the good we have the opportunity and the chance to do, failing to help someone in need that we can know they have a need of, and we have the ability and the ability to help them. Yes, it may cost us. It may put us in danger even. It may put us in great danger sometimes. But we can help in some way. You know, so I said, the Good Samaritans frequently are the outcasts. You drive down a freeway, if someone's pulled off the side of the road, has trouble, most of us, what? Just keep driving on by. We don't probably even pick up our cell phone and call and say, hey, there's a guy, you know, stuck on the road here. But if you do see someone there, sometimes you see an old beat-up car there. And when we drive by, we say, gee, that was nice, that person with a good car to stop the guy with a beat-up car. But it's probably the other way around. Probably the beat-up car is helping the guy with a good car. We don't know often what's there. But those are some of the prejudices that we carry with ourselves. We're not always sure we should help. We're afraid to do it, even though we do that. And if we have to talk ourselves into saying that I did the right thing by passing by, we've done the wrong thing. As soon as you have to convince yourself that you did the right thing by not helping, you know you should have helped. You know that you should have aided the person in need. You should have been that good Samaritan. And so let us pray that we would be those good Samaritans. Yes, it's inconvenient. Most of the time when people need our help, it does not come when it's convenient for us. We have other things to do at that time. And so we need to, so to speak, those other things can wait. They can be delayed a little while we help this person in need. To make those sacrifices that are there. That's what the Good Samaritan did. He made a sacrifice. It was inconvenient for him. He lost money, cost him money, put himself in danger to assist. But he did it anyhow. He did it because he loved his neighbor, and also, I think, because he loved his God and his Savior, Jesus Christ. If you and I only help others when there's no cost to us, when it doesn't put us in any danger or any hardship, we're doing what anybody else would do. But God says we need to, so to speak, put ourselves out to help those in need. And so let us pray that you and I will find the time and the skill and ability to be the Good Samaritan, that we will be kind one to another, that we will help those in need, even if they're a different race, even if they scare us as people, even if they're not our real friends, but help them because they are in need. And in that way, we will be neighbor one to another. And may God forgive us our sins of omission and give us the courage not to commit them in the future. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service continues with our offerings to the Lord.